Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about it today in relationship to a lot of things that were well understood in the church, not understood today in the church that we call the church. There's been a great deal of apostasy that has crept into our thinking over the last 2,000 years. Almost immediately after Christ established the church by appointing the apostles, I appoint unto you a kingdom, a government. That's what the church is. It's still defined that way in Black's dictionary as one form of government. But he had been teaching something about government, and that's why, of course, Christians and governments came into conflict in the following several hundred years and the several thousand years that has passed since then. Because Jesus was teaching one form of government, and most of the people of the world have chosen to go towards the other form of government. And they do this while they continue to go to church and say they believe in Jesus. The fact is, most Christians, most Muslims, most Jews, and we can name several other religions because Abraham actually was probably the founder or the person who was claimed to be the founder of most religions, if you take things all the way back to their historical origin. That isn't to say that the religions that we now see are following what Abraham was doing. Most of them don't even know what Abraham was really doing, which was exactly what Moses was doing, which was exactly what Christ was doing. Christ did it better. He didn't find found a new religion. He simply enhanced and professed and preached the religion of God. What is religion? This is another common misunderstanding. Religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. That's what religion is, threskia in the Greek. It has to do with what you do. And religion, the reason they went to temples is to get their welfare checks, to get their aid, get their assistance. This is why they would go. There was a treasury in the temple to take care of the needy. This is why there were altars in the days of Abraham. Those were actually living altars originally, if you understood the original Hebrew. And it was the Pharisees who twisted things around, even though the Pharisees were still taking care of the social welfare of the people, based upon the sacrifices the people made and gave in at the temple and at the synagogues that were extensions, auxiliaries of the temple. This is how they took care of the widows and orphans and needy of their society. Pure religion is to do that unspotted by the world. What was the world? The world was a system of government where the men who called themselves benefactors exercised authority one over the other. The actual Greek word for world, when he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," meant government. It is defined as government, and that's what it meant. And that's what Jesus meant. His kingdom wasn't of the world of Pontius Pilate. It was at hand. It was on the planet. It was for the living. He was going to take it away from the Pharisees who were not bearing fruit because they had invented a system of Corban that made the word of God to none effect. They didn't really invent it. Nimrod had invented it. Cain had invented it. But he reinvented it, and he was operating it through the temple. The temple both in Jerusalem and the temple of Rome that he also built. Lots of money was coming in, lots of social welfare. That money was in the treasury. Some of it was used to build an aqueduct, and people were rioting in the streets at the time of Christ because he had built this aqueduct the government had built this aqueduct with the funds that were supposed to be for Social Security. So anyway, that's not really the topic that we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about society and the media and society and the mind-altering effects of the media and of society that is constantly preaching a gospel of fear and anxiety And we have scientific evidence now through neuroimaging studies that this gospel of fear coming out of your media, and I'm saying gospel because gospel means good news. Their good news is, oh, this is terrible happening. The economy is falling apart. This, all these bad things, terrorists. Even if you are objecting to stuff that is really worthy of objection, their constant bombardment of these negative ideas and waves in your mind is actually changing the structure of your mind neurologically. And they see this in neuroimaging of people who are constantly bombarded. The reality is you wouldn't even have to see the news, and you could be doing this to yourself. And we do this to ourselves. We have gone a wrong direction. We are now under a strong delusion. We are now subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have not received the grace of Christ because we have not sought his salvation. The world has gotten us seduced into seeking the salvation of the world, salvation of the benefactors who exercise authority, so that millions upon millions and millions of Christians are praying, applying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other in order to obtain benefits at the expense of their neighbor. Absolutely anti-Christ, anti-Moses, anti-Abraham, anti-the-prophets, pro-Nimrod, pro-Cain, pro-Babylon, and yet they still call themselves Christians, but they aren't Christians because they aren't following Christ. They aren't following John the Baptist, who said, you need something, and you don't have a coat, for instance. You have to wait upon the charity of your neighbor who has two coats and will share with you. People don't want to wait anymore. They want to force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. They somehow think that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods means thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods unless he's rich. Then you can tax the rich to get what you want. No. If you do that, you are anti-Christ. You are anti-Christ. You are not the government of God. You are not a part of the kingdom of God. You are not kingdom-minded. And you need to repent and turn around and go the other way. And that's bad news, because most of you are going the wrong way. Good news is now you know. Now you can do something about it. But there's many subtle things that are going on in your day-to-day life, in their thinking, that have been altered, where your perception of reality has changed, and you are being seduced down a rabbit hole from which there is no return. And what we were going to talk about today is heights and lows. And the reason why I say heights and lows, and rather than highs and lows, is that it's actually a play on words. You know, we always talk about heaven being up and hell being down. But actually, I recently saw the movie Wuthering Heights. And in that movie, this very interesting psychological play of the characters. You know, they have this one character who's, you know, the central character, who's in love with this girl, and he is adopted into a family. But when the father dies, he's abused by his not real brother, his adopted brother, and he is beaten and he is put down, and he hates his brother. Not his real brother, this adopted head of the household at Wuthering Heights, Heathcliff. Anyway, he's also in love with his cousin, but she doesn't. She would like to marry him, but, and I guess they could do that in England, but it's not really his cousin because he's adopted. But he's in love with her, but he cannot marry her because she refuses him, but she does it not because she doesn't love him, but because she would think that would bring nothing but burden and turmoil in his life. And he doesn't realize that's why she's going to refuse him, and he runs off and he becomes rich and he ends up coming back and buying and all this complex thing. But the point is, he ends up in a cycle of hate and unforgiveness. He ruins the lives of one person after another because of his hate and unforgiveness. The woman he loves actually dies. He ruins the life of her children and her nephew because he cannot forgive. It's a war with him. The ones that he abuses do forgive him. And finally, he loses his power. The hate loses his power. And he, you know, in this very dramatic love affair with the dead woman, he goes off and supposedly joins her. But the point is that this cycle of hate condemned him to a hell on earth. How do you get drawn into that? And there's this is why Christ says, forgive so that you may be forgiven. This, he's telling you a spiritual principle here, that if you do not learn it, you will be drawn into a cycle of hate and destruction and depravity. And that's why the world is in trouble today. That's why it isn't because of the New World Order. It isn't because of, you know, somebody planning something in a room somewhere in Europe or the Hague or the Bilderbergers or the Federal Reserve. That isn't why we have the problems we have today. The reason we have the problems we have today is unforgiveness and sloth and avarice and all these non-virtuous, these vice patterns of behavior that we are condemned to because of our unforgiveness, because of our lack of charity, because we will not live by hope, because we are filled with fear, and fear breeds fear. So therefore, back to the media. The media must instill fear into you. Worry about the Iranians. Worry about the economy. Somebody was giving three alternatives. I was wondering if I had that list. I jotted them down that somebody, they had a video and they shared it. And in it, he was saying there are three things that people suggest. And he was saying that these don't work. He says, vote the bums out. Well, the fact is the majority of the people in the country today are selfish. They are covetous, they are slothful, and they are going to want their benefits at the expense of their neighbor. That is what they are. They have chosen that way. So in a democracy, you cannot vote the bums out. They will vote the bums in because they want their benefits. They have fallen prey to Proverbs. Come with us. Let us all have one purse. Let us lurk privately for gain, for the blood of our neighbor. That even though it is warned in Proverbs that you will be captured in the very net, warned by David and by Paul, that what should have been for your welfare will become a snare. People still do it. They don't listen. People say, oh, religion, we don't have anything to do with religion. Your government is a religion. It depends upon your faith in it and your worship of it. And that's why it has power. So you're not going to vote the bums out. Sign petitions. They say, oh, no, you can't sign enough petitions. And nobody's going to listen to them. Nobody's going to do it. It's just a fruitless effort on your part to feel like you've done something. And that's not untrue. Violent revolution. You don't have the character for a violent revolution, and you don't have the right for a violent revolution. They have the power because you have given them the power. You said, here, have the power to take from my neighbor for my benefit, for my free education, for my health care. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So none of those will work. So they say, financially starve them. You know, withhold the pay. Don't pay your taxes. Basically what they're coming down to, you know, reduce your taxes. But they actually are suggesting tax evasion in their video. That's a crime. You go to jail for that. You owe it. You owe the tax. Pay the tax. How do you owe the tax? Find out. Learn. Find out where you went down the wrong road. And this is what we tell you in the book Covenants of the Gods. Turn around. Go the other way. Start moving the other way. Still pay your tally of bricks because you owe it. Because you did get free education. You do have all these social benefits. They're going to fail. It is the unrighteous mammon you have become a part of. The unrighteous trust. Mammon means trust. Entrusted wealth. Doesn't just mean money. It means entrusted wealth. In your case, the money, the thing you use as money is the result of a trust. It is a hypothecating trust, and we explain that in Covenants of Gods too. But it is an unrighteous mammon because it has no real value. It's not just weights and measures. That's why it's losing value all the time. That's why you used to be able to buy a loaf of bread for 10 cents and you can't anymore. Why you used to be able to buy a gallon of gas for a quarter. The quarter was a silver quarter. You don't have silver anymore. Rome did the same thing. They took all the silver out of the coin and a sack of wheat to make a bunch of bread, 30 pounds of bread, went from 6 dimes to 200,000 dimes because the dimes weren't silver anymore. at the peak of inflation. You're going the same way. Christians were going another way. They were doing something different, uniquely different. Your churches don't even know what that is anymore. They don't teach it anymore. They say, you're just saved. Don't worry about it. Surely you will not die. You don't have to do what Jesus said. All you have to do is believe. If you don't do what he says, you don't believe. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what he says. If you can take all the things that Jesus said and put in one column the things that were direct statements, instructions, direct instructions by Jesus, it's a very short column. But the churches today aren't doing it. And they need to repent and turn around and take up the straight way. It says block Congress from sitting in their seats. How can you do that without committing a crime? And this third thing is entice the military to mutiny, to come and support the people. That's a crime. You will go to jail for that. I see this all the time. Somebody is getting people to sign documents that are actually makes them a criminal. We saw that with this Republican group. I can't remember, Restore the Republic or whatever. To get their ID, you had to fill out what they called a warrant. And in that warrant, I read it. We did a show on this. It is your arrest warrant because you're committing a crime just recently. Now, this is where we're going to go and talk today and for the next couple of hours is on the use of psychiatry and the drugs of psychiatry to enslave you in more ways than you can even imagine. Russia did it. Germany did it. It's already going on today. There are gun confiscations in California of citizens because a woman, for instance, she was depressed a little bit after she had a baby and a doctor prescribed some medication, which made her more depressed and anxious. And she called the doctor up and the doctor says, well, I can't, you know, because of his policy, he wasn't going to reduce the amount of drugs, which is ridiculous. Over the phone. He wasn't going to see her that night. But he says, just go to the hospital. They'll take care of you. So she went to the hospital and the hospital said, well, she says she felt anxious and all this stuff. The hospital said, well, would you like to stay here tonight? And then, you know, because it was late. And so she did. She stayed the night. And she got off the medication. She was okay after that. The medication was causing the problem. But she stayed in the hospital overnight, and according to the new rules, her house has already been invaded by the police and their guns taken away, including her husband's guns, because she had once, overnight, been admitted with the possibility of suicidal thoughts, which she said she didn't have and didn't say she had. She just had this anxiety and anxiousness caused by the drug that she was given. This is going to be pervasive. We're talking thousands upon thousands of guns being taken away from people that have no real problem. Without trial, you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. Your husband is guilty until you prove yourself innocent. But that's not the real problem with the drugs and the psychiatry. It goes way deeper, and that's what we're going to be exploring. How deep does this really go? These ups and downs, these depressions, these bipolar depressions that we people are always talking about. What is really going on? Manic depression. What is really going on in your mind? Is there a better cure? And there is, than drugs. As a matter of fact, drugs are a major cause, and we'll show you this, and we'll show you the words of experts, both pro and con. And you'll see how dangerous these drugs are, how mind-altering they are. And the fact is, they're doing the same thing with the media, on your TVs, in programs. You are being programmed. And why? Now, does that mean you can't watch TV anymore? Well, it'd be good probably if you cut down. Does it mean you can't take any kind of medication? Well, it probably would be better if you didn't, but you're going to have to make these decisions, but you need to make informed decisions. You need to understand the process of what's going on in your own mind. You can actually drug your own mind without putting anything in your mouth or in your veins. You can do it by mental patterns of behavior. Fear drugs you. It creates artificial stimulus. Why do people go to horror movies? That, you know, scare me. Kind of approach. because there is a chemical secretion in your mind when you are frightened. Why are people so addicted to the news? They got to watch the news. It's all bad stuff, but they got to watch it anyway. You are, you know, pornography. All these things are stimulating your cortex. There was 700 children admitted to the hospital in Japan in one night. What happened? They watched a cartoon on TV. It was one of the most popular cartoons in Japan. And they were watching the cartoon, and there was a series of flashing lights. At one point, I don't know, it was an explosion or whatever. You know, it was a cartoon. But children went into convulsions just from watching those lights. You are extremely susceptible to the world around you and the stimulants in the world around you. It can make you happy. It can make you sad. It is slavery. It is bondage. Why? Because you are not walking in the Spirit. You're not walking in the Holy Spirit. And therefore, these things, just being in a crowd, you see this at soccer games where all these men are around and they're all got their testosterone going and they're ranting and raving for their team and they're all excited and everything. And they love to go to the crowd because there's kind of an energy in the crowd, and fights break out. Mass hysteria. There's suddenly they have to evacuate and people are killed and trampled to death because of the communication of this mass hysteria from one to the next. There's actually a psychic bond that these people are creating. But there are other things that are affecting, you know, the smells, you know, the sweat and the excitement and the yelling and the noise and the cheers. And there, you know, I knew somebody once who all they had to do is have one sip of wine and they were acting like they were, you know, giddy drunk, not fall down, you know, drunk, but all happy and giddy and everything, because their mind went into a pattern of behavior. They weren't drunk, but they just sitting down and doing these things by habit would set the mind into a pattern of secretion and behavior and susceptibility. And that's bondage. You are subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil, because all they have to do is manipulate your surroundings. One of the things I talked about just the other night was witchcraft. Witchcraft is the idea that you can change the outside conditions and change yourself spiritually. You cannot, and that's not what we're going to talk about. But you can create an environment that is conducive to receiving the Holy Spirit. You cannot conjure it up. You cannot conjure up righteousness by changing your outside environment. But you can certainly block your perception and understanding. And what if you're going to be set free, you're going to have to look at the actual processes that are going on in your life all around you. And that's what we're going to explore. We're going to explore these drugs. Most people don't know it. One of the first martyrs was not Stefan. It was actually a dentist in Bergamon who was accused of practicing medicine without a license, because when patients would come to him and he would look at their teeth and work on their teeth, they would often be healed, sometimes of other things that had nothing to do with his teeth, because he was handling them, touching them. And this was a man filled with the Spirit. And people were going to the dentist for other ailments just to have him lay hands on them. And he was accused of practicing medicine without a license. And Bergamot was the center of pharmaceutica at that time. And it's very interesting that we're going to be talking about this, because on this particular day in history, it was in 1833 that Susan Hayhurst became the first woman to graduate from pharmacy college. And there are a great many things that can come out of pharmacy that are good. And there are a great many things that can come out of pharmacy that are bad. But we have to be careful of using terms like good and bad, because they aren't necessarily the same as righteous. And we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And sometimes that means that we have to put ourselves in jeopardy and put ourselves in danger in order to obtain that righteousness. Face danger. And to overcome fear. But the world, evil, does not want you to overcome fear. It wants you to wallow in fear. It wants you to immerse you in fear. It wants you to have your highs because it can control you in its lows. It wants to cast you out and reel you in. It wants to make you subject to its will, to march to the beat of its drum. And you need to do something much different. You need to do something that is righteous. And that's what we're going to talk about, is the ways of Christ and how that interprets in righteousness. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about some really important topics today and for the next few shows. And we're going to be talking about how America has become a drugged society. There's so many people on prescription drugs, very powerful drugs, mind-altering drugs. And not very many years ago, just the idea of even taking drugs was almost a taboo. I mean, you could go down to your local drugstore and get opium. And then they start outlawing opium, and they outlaw all these other narcotics because they were addictive, and they saw them making people dependent. But now, because we have a knowledge of things and a degree of knowledge, we think that mind-altering drugs are a good thing, better living through chemistry. And so if a doctor prescribes a drug, then it's good. If you get it off the street, it's bad. Well, the fact is, most all of them are bad. Most all of them make you dependent. They addict you. Cigarettes addict you. Coffee can addict you. Alcohol can addict you. And different people have a different proclivity towards addiction. But there are other things. Your body is this huge drug factory. It's producing, just when you run, you can actually get a high from running long distance. I used to be a marathon runner, and you could run and you get into kind of a rhythm and a groove, and it's almost like it is a narcotic. You have a secretion of all kinds of chemicals in the body, and blood flow changes, and the mind gets into this rhythmic pattern. Music can be a drug. Religion can be a drug. All these things can drug your mind so that you're not really in the control of your mind that you maybe ought to be. The old Irish joke, if you can keep your head while everybody else around you is losing theirs, you probably don't know what's going on. And of course, that's what the principle of a lot of drugs are, is they numb your mind so that you don't know what's going on around you. You're not distracted, like Ritalin. You're not going to be distracted by all the activities in the classroom because you're not going to notice them. What people don't realize is those children that are distracted by all those activities are the children that are the multitaskers. They can draw pictures in their mind. They can see whole systems in operation. They can understand the mechanism of a thing from the beginning to the end. Things can start fitting in place. But of course, as a child, they're just picking up pieces of the puzzle, and there's so many, and they are scattered. They're distracted. And it is up to us to teach them how to control that tool they have. And unfortunately, many people raising children are not that much in control to begin with. Their children aren't in control, and things are just completely out of control. So somebody says, let's drug them. Let's drug everybody. Except they never come to grips with their own skills. They never come to grips with their own minds and abilities. They're drugged away from it, and the side effects can be disastrous. And we're going to put together a whole show, several shows on this subject. And we're going to take you all the way from, drugging yourselves, drugging your mind so that you can't see what's going on, and drugging your thinking so that you actually dumb yourself down. I mean, vaccines can do this. It's very clear effect of vaccines on the mental capacity of children. Very clear the effect of fluoride on the mental capacity of people, as well as their proclivity towards cancer. Cancers are on the rise since they fluorinated water. You can go over to cities that did not fluorinate the water, look at the amount of cancers, and there's a phenomenal difference. These statistics are not new. They've been around for a long time. Yet people keep putting these poisons into the system. What is causing us to do this? It's almost sadomasochistic. But the reality is, it is. We have a bent in our minds to destroying ourselves. I mean, there's actually a consciousness that wants to bring about our own destruction. We're not completely overwhelmed by that in most cases, although you do see people who suddenly all of a sudden kill all the members of their family and shoot themselves. That's the extreme case. But before you get to that extreme case, there are people who are on the road to self-destruction. Some of them are more obvious. You see the person drinking and carousing and doing everything, you know, sabotaging their schoolwork, their college education. No matter what you say, well, are you trying to destroy your life? Yes, they are. They're ridden with guilt, and they're ridden with all kinds of psychosis and things like that, because they have gone into the pattern of numbing themselves so that they don't see the truth. They can actually cause themselves to go crazy. Dementia can actually be the result of a soul battle, because we don't want to see the truth. We can drug ourselves mad. The current violent behavior of an individual was cured with ice cream. Can you believe that? Well, we're going to talk about that in another show. They weren't actually cured with ice cream, but ice cream played a part in finding the cure. The real cure was love. The real cure was love that was filled with forgiveness and patience and virtue. And it cured somebody who would have been put on drugs, would have become suicidal, it was totally self-destructive, and they were cured by love and ice cream. And I'll tell that story in another show. We're going to talk about someone who claimed to have 20 years of experience complaining about a doctor who had 50 years experience, as if he didn't know what he was talking about. He is on Quack Watch. That's the website that he has. There's actually a couple of people involved in that. They're evidently paid by the pharmaceutical companies to do work that promotes pharmaceuticals. You know, so many of the children that have gone into schools and killed people have been on these drugs. And of course they say, well, the kid was disturbed, that's why he was on the drugs, and because he was disturbed, he did these things. The truth is, he did these things because he was on the drugs. He may have had a psychosis, he may have had a dementia, he may have had emotional problems, but they were not cured by the drugs. They were made worse. In almost every case that I know of, it was when the kid was trying to come off the drug that he does these suicidal and crazy, insane things, because it's an addictive drug. I know personally firsthand kids who have taken these drugs, even the minor drugs, small doses, and when they tried to go off them, they literally collapsed into convulsions. They collapsed and couldn't control their motor ability to move. They just were paralyzed. Eventually they came out of it and they thought, what's the problem? It's the drug. No, it's not the drug. It only happens when I go off the drug. People think, I need the drug. As soon as I try to go off the drug, I have all these problems. It's called withdrawal. If you got off the drug completely, but in order to do that, you need support, you need help, and you need supervision. And we're going to talk about some of this and where you could get it and why Christ wants you to have that help and assistance. Why he wants you to listen to the other doctors that we talk about. And not the Stephen Barrett and Russell Barkley, who are actually quacks on Quack Watch, but the doctors they're talking about, Brigham, who is a brilliant doctor, graduate of Harvard, other medical schools, and got years and years and years, decades of experience, and really has alternatives to drugging your children. We're going to talk about school and some of the things that go on in school. And of course, our regular motto concerning public school is get your kids out of those schools, not just because somebody can now come in there with impunity and shoot all those children. because they're gun-free zones, and that's where crazy maniac people go. They never go to the shooting range to shoot people. They never go to the policeman's pistol range to shoot people. They go to gun-free zones, gun-free shopping centers. They make headlines out of one of these people who does that. They don't make headlines out of one of these people who are stopped by somebody who had a concealed carry permit and pulled out their own gun, and sometimes simply with the presence of another gun stopped everything, and it didn't go any farther. Heroes. We should know their names. They should be heroes on billboards. They should be promoted everywhere. Instead, we have teachers suspending six-year-old children for eating their pastry into the shape that resembled supposedly a gun. I actually saw the pastry. It didn't resemble a gun whatsoever. But it's just insane that teachers that you put your children in the hands of would decide to suspend a perfectly normal six-year-old child who, while chewing his muffin, or that wasn't a muffin, what do they call them? We don't even have these things in our house, but it's some sort of blueberry kind of Pop-Tart or something. Anyway, he was chewing that sugary thing, which is probably bad for him anyway, and he was trying to make a mountain, and it ended up looking a little vaguely like a gun. And he was suspended for several days. And his breakfast was taken away from him by the teacher. That, to me, is insane. And these are the people that are teaching your children. We need to take back responsibility for our own thinking. And just because somebody has degrees or a few letters after their name, they may not know what they're doing or what they may be absolute fools. And idiots. If you go amongst the medical society and you take a quiz, just go in and ask them, did you vote for Obama or did you vote for the other guy? Or are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you a socialist? Because those decisions tell you what kind of person that individual is. I remember once I was having heart palpitations, arrhythmia, and it was simply overworking, too many hours. But I was concerned about it. I was in my 40s, almost 50, and so I went to a doctor. I almost never go to a doctor. But, this was serious. I mean, my heart was stopping and then beating feverishly, large thumping in my chest. And I have a stethoscope. I put it on and I could hear that the heart was extremely irregular. It never happened before, so I thought I'd have it checked out. Went to the doctor, did an EKG. Then I go in to consult with the doctor. He's sitting there drinking coffee, skipped his lunch, smoking a cigarette, and I'm asking him for health advice. What is wrong with this picture? Very impatient, pushing, blowing the smoke and pushing it away from his face and everything. He was already, I'd heard him scolding his secretary or nurse or whatever it is, ill-tempered. I thought, why am I going to this person? Why am I trusting my life to this person? And basically what he said, if you had insurance, a lot of money, we could run lots more tests and maybe find out what it is. Basically, what it was is I needed to cut back. I started taking a Sabbath, taking one rest day a week. Went away. Okay, problem solved. There's lots of alternatives. You need to start thinking. You need to start cleaning up your own life and your act. You don't want to be solving problems by drugging your children with mind-altering substances. There are better ways. They don't cost hardly anything except for your time and your energy and your love. What it's going to cost you is you're going to have to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What do they mean, righteousness? If you are Islamic, they have a whole list of Islamic virtues, and the very first one they list is righteousness. Generosity, gratitude, contentment, humility, kindness, courtesy, purity, good speech, respect, wisdom, tolerance, good speech. We're going to talk to you about how the use of certain words can cause your brain to secrete chemicals. Change the electromagnetic patterns of your brain. Did you know that when you lie, parts of your brain that are normally not active become active? They actually are using that as a lie detector test, where they put you in one of these big, huge MRIs, and they'll be watching your brain and looking at it, and they'll ask you questions, yes or no. And when you go to lie, a different part of your brain lights up, because you use that part of your brain for lying, evidently. So anyway, good speech, just words. We'll talk about how 700 children are admitted to a hospital because they saw a cartoon one evening on the TV. Across the country, 700 kids were so sick from watching that cartoon, they had to be admitted to hospitals, to emergency rooms. You are affected by way more than you realize, and you should not be affected by this. You should, if you're seeking the kingdom of heaven, you're seeking to be ruled by God. That doesn't just mean not ruled by governments of the world, but not ruled by ideas, not ruled by lights, not ruled by words, not ruled by emotions, not ruled by people being able to push your buttons and make you happy or make you sad. You become independently free as a free soul under God. Part of that is good speech. Respect, wisdom, tolerance, justice, mercy, dignity, courage, firmness, frankness, hope, patience, perseverance. Didn't Jesus talk about persevering until the end? Discipline, self-restraint, balance, moderation, prudence, unity, frugality, sincerity, responsibility, loyalty, trustworthy, honesty, fair dealing, repentance, and spirituality. What was missing? What was missing in that list? Do you know what was missing? If you look at the seven virtues that we as Christians normally address, I mean, all those things are great. Well, what would Christians find in their seven virtues? Do you know them all by heart? Chastity, temperance, charity, love, diligence, kindness, humility. Well, wait a minute. If you look at these things like charity and love, did you know that everywhere that Paul uses a Greek word that is translated charity, when Jesus uses the same exact word, they translate it love? Paul says it, it's charity. Christ says it, it's love. So you got virtues listed here. One is charity, one is love. What would be the antithesis of charity and love? They have different alternative, or, you know, antithesis. The vice part of virtue, the antithesis part of virtue is vice. So when they say chastity, they say that the vice is lust. Well, if you're thinking in sexual terms of male and female, chastity and lust draw certain pictures in your mind. But if you think about lusting after feelings, you want to feel good. You want to reproduce a feeling of being excited and everything. Did you know cutters do that? People who cut themselves, masochists, they cut themselves to get a feeling. There are people who actually desire to be tortured because it gives them a feeling, and they lust after that feeling. Chastity is the reverse, not being drawn by those fleshy lusts. And there are all kinds of fleshy lusts that you could be drawn to. Temperance, the antithesis is gluttony. Well, gluttony, you think of that's eating too much. But there's a lot of things that you could do too much, consume too much, listen to music too much, indulge in fantasies too much in your mind, you know, thinking too much. How many times do people say you think too much? Charity, the opposite is greed, selfishness, greed. And the antithesis of that would be charity. You would be willing to give of your time, of your energy, of yourself. Some rich people give to big charities, but it really doesn't cost them anything. They don't really give up anything. They just have less of too much. that's not really charity if you're not really giving up. You're still you can give charity away because you're greedy for praise. So charity and love are the antithesis of greed. Greed, covetousness, desiring what belongs to others, whether you steal it or not, it doesn't matter. Just wanting it is not love. It is the antithesis of love. Diligence is listed as one of these seven virtues. The antithesis is sloth. The slothful shall be under tribute. Tribute is where you have to pay in without being paid back. It is where you have to work for nothing. That used to be what tribute, statutory labor, was when you had to work and you didn't necessarily get anything in return. That's what it was like in Egypt. That's the bondage of Egypt, where you had to work 20% of the time for the government, and the government was supposed to take care of you in time of need, but it did not always do that, especially when it was bankrupt. So those people are under tribute. God did not want you under tribute because he didn't want you to be slothful, but that's where the slothful end up because they don't have the virtue of being diligent. When do you get up in the morning and go to work? I'm not talking about working for others, working for your family, working for your community, working for your loved ones, those ones you want to be charitable to. Patience, another virtue. What is the antithesis of patience? Wrath. What is the antithesis of kindness? Envy. Envy. Just envying other people. Jealousy is the antithesis of kindness. It's not a kind heart that is jealous. Humility, the antithesis of if that is pride. You can heal nothing if you are not humble. You must have humility to heal. No pride. How can you go to healers who are proud and arrogant? Why would you go to someone to teach you temperance who they themselves are self-indulgent, lustful? I mean, before you go to a doctor, you want to know, is he married? Does he cheat on his wife? Is he take care of his family? Is he selfish? Is he greedy? Is he slothful? Don't let him put his hands on you until you find out. Don't listen to his advice if he is not doing righteously in his own home. His mind will be darkened. What is the antithesis of light but darkness? What is the antithesis of truth? Something less than truth. Some people love to be slothful. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. All these things, these lacks of virtues, which you can find in all the major religions where they list off the same type of virtues. Buddhist, Baha'i, doesn't really matter. Are you really those things? Your society will excuse lust as long as you divorce this wife and marry that one. Then divorce this one and marry that one. They will excuse greed as long as they see some evidence of charity. I helped this person out once. I wrote a check once for the Salvation Army. Diligent. All these things make a difference in the health of the individual, in the health of his family, in the health of his society. When you see yourself not being chaste, temperate, charitable, diligent, patient, kind, humble, when you find yourself losing your patience with others, when somebody can make you wrathful, angry, is something missing in you? Take your focus back to you. See you. Pray to the source of charity, temperance, love, diligence, patience, kindness. Yearn for that. That's your prayer. Desire patience. Desire kindness. Not judgment. Not anger. Not pride. Not sloth. And it will lead you to a healthier you, and a healthier family, and a healthier society. These are why Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be provided unto you. And we're going to tie all these things together in this whole series of shows, and you be the judge. And I pray that you let God judge and open up your heart to understand the spiritual reality that creates the world around you. Is the world around you abnormal? Is the world around you twisted? Is the world around you crazy? Insane? Is it because the world around you is void of the spirit of the Creator of life? They are creating chaos because they are living in darkness. You need to bring light where there was darkness. You need to bring understanding where there was confusion. You need to bring faith where there was fear. You need to bring love where there was something less than love, greed and lust and gluttony and sloth and wrath and envy and pride. Love is sacrificing. Give up your life that ye may have life more abundant. Seemingly a paradox, but a truth. If you hoard your life, if you take life from others, life will be taken from you. You will bring yourself down to a realm of dog-eat-dog. When you walk the way, the narrow ways of Christ, and the narrow ways of the prophets, you actually enter another realm. They can still see you in this world sometimes. Actually, sometimes they can't even see you. they still see you. But you are actually living in another realm, walking around in this world, but not of it. When you're of this world, the world can go mad and you will go mad with it. And the world wants you mad. It wants you angry, wants you envious, wants you greedy, wants you coveting your neighbor's goods. Because that's compatible in their world. They don't want you sticking up. They don't want you shining light in their eyes. And that's why you have to be careful as you begin to wake up. And there's lots of things that we can help and share with you in that process, in that journey. But there's no reason for you to start on that journey until you repent. Turn around. And seek to be ruled by God, not by drugs, not by words, not by men, not by ideas, but by truth, by virtue, that it rules and lives in you. It is the source of your direction in life, not what you think you know or have learned or memorized or the rituals that you have performed, but your rituals are the rituals of life. Giving up life to have life more abundant. Sharing. Forgiving. Kindness. Forgiving kindness is so much different than envy. Envy will drain you. Wrath will drain you. Sloth will drain you. Only these other things, the truth, giveth life. And life more abundant as you give up your life in the pursuit of truth. So anyway, that's where we're going to go in the days to come and in the shows to come. And we're going to talk about these things and we're going to go through a progression of information to kind of point to the principles. And we're going to end with kind of a talk about the spirituality of addiction. And right today, many people are addicted to fear. Oh, they're worried about Nibiru. They're worried about economic collapse. And we talk about these things because they are real, but you do not want the fear to grab hold of you. You want to immerse yourself in faith, in trust, in righteousness. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It matters whether you seek righteousness in all that you do. Because then you win. If you win any other way, you have already lost. Paradox. Life is full of them. Get used to it. We're going to also talk about health and what leads to disease, which we've already just touched on briefly. But anyway, stay tuned for the next few shows. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.